Welcome back to the program. Always great to have your calls and your texts. We'll return to your calls very shortly, but it is our pleasure to have the Hawthorn president, Jeff Kennett, joining us on a pretty big day for the Hawthorn Football Club. They've announced a major restructure of their coaching department. It's not a big story, but it is a big story. It's a big story in the evolution of the career of Sam Mitchell, I think, the fact that he's now got control of his own team. But we'll talk more about that to Jeff Kennett, who's been good enough to jump on the line. Welcome to you, Jeff. Great to have you back on the program.
Great pleasure, Dwayne.
And you've got a bit of a, you've got your voice back, which is something you didn't have last time we spoke. And you've got a little bit of a spring in your step this morning. Are you pretty happy that businesses are back?
Yes, I am. I mean, many businesses have traded through this period, but on the other hand, there are many that didn't, and many, sadly, that have closed, and many that are opening up, particularly retailers now, hoping to clear old stock and survive post-Christmas. And the great test is going to be when JobKeeper, in its second mode, is removed, which will be end of March. So we look as though we're controlling the virus. That is good. But more importantly, we'll continue to have outbreaks. So we're going to have to manage those. And then we're going to have to obviously manage the economy. And the economy is going to take a number of years before it gets back to where it was pre-COVID. So there's a lot of challenges out there, but hopefully all of us collectively will rise up and overcome.
And you're hoping to help your club rise up and overcome. You're sticking around long term. You're going to stay as president for the next 3 years. And we talked earlier on a couple of months ago about stability at this time is pretty important for a footy club as it is for business.
Yes, as it is for the AFL. And I think it was, we've got, well, I, in evaluating my position, had we not had COVID, I think I would have stood down at the AGM this year. That was my intention, just to come back, get the club back on its feet in terms of its administration, and then get out of the way. But with COVID, we now have a situation where every football, every sporting code is going to be severely tested. It has already, but we don't know what next year is going to look like and the impact that's going to have on individual clubs. And given, therefore, that when I first joined the club as president in 2005, while we weren't doing well on the field, we weren't also financially strong. Well, right now we're strong financially. We've got to rebuild in terms of from where we are down at the end of the ladder towards the top. So I've been through this once before, and I think I've got the capacity to assist the club put in place those blocks that will get us back to being more competitive and to help steer the club through what's going to be a challenging 18 months for all football clubs, but also for the AFL.
And you mentioned the word rebuild. Is it going to be a quick return, do you think, on field to contending, or Hawthorn fans need to be patient? How quick can the rebuild be?
Well, I don't know if rebuild's the right word. I probably should have said a return to the higher echelons of the ladder. I've got great confidence that we have the men, particularly those younger men who have joined us in the last couple of years, to make a real impact next year. So I don't think it's going to take that long at all to reclimb the ladder. But, you know, when I look at Richmond and when I look at Geelong and I look at Port Adelaide, we've got a fair way to go to get back to that level. It's not going to happen overnight. A lot of our bodies have still got a bit of developing to do. But I am very, very hopeful that over the next 2 years we're going to see substantial change within the performance of the team. But you can't go from where we are. Well, very rarely can a team go from where they are on the ladder now to competing for the premiership next year. It's not impossible, but you've got to be realistic.
And you've had to break a few Hawthorn fans' hearts in times recently as well, Jeff, when Luke Hodge departed and Jordan Lewis departed. Can you see, you know, an Isaac Smith or a big name having to depart as that restructure happens?
Well, I hope not. I really hope not. I mean, Jack Gunston, as far as I'm concerned, Isaac Smith, they're part of the Hawthorn family. They're part of the culture of the club. I would hate either of them to go. And I don't think they will, but you never know. I think Jack's still contracted to us. I think Isaac's a free agent at the moment. But, you know, I like the concept of players being one club players. So this year we lost, Ben Stratton retired, Paul Puopolo retired. They both retired with premiership medals around their necks, but they were one club players. And I think there's a lot of grace in that, to be quite honest. And I think it stands them well for the future. But I'm not my brother's keeper. And as you know, this is a very competitive world. There is movement, so we've got to go through the processes. And under Graham Wright, he manages our list, so to speak. We'll see what happens.
And Alistair Clarkson could well coach Hawthorn for the next 10 years, Jeff. We don't know. But the air to his throne sounds like it's Sam Mitchell. Now, in the development of one of your all-time greats, Sam Mitchell, as a coach, he's been given full control as the senior coach of the Box Hill Hawks, so he gets to manage his own footy program, which is pretty important in his advancement.
That's exactly right. This is part of the training program we've put into place to give ourselves and to give Sam the greatest options in the next few years. Hopefully that might be with Hawthorn, but if it's not with Hawthorn, it might be at another club. But the last thing I think you want to do, and we've seen it from time to time, when people have been thrown into managing a football club as a coach without sufficient and appropriate training, they often fall. They stumble. So we think it's important for Sam to actually have control of his own club for a year or two, and that will serve him well, and I hope it will serve Hawthorn well. And it's interesting because, of course, Sam Mitchell represents perseverance to the letter. As you know, he wasn't a natural footballer. He spent a lot of time at Box Hill before he broke into the senior side. And it's only through his own endeavour, his persistence, that he's had such a remarkable career and captained the club. So we see this as there's a wonderful synergy about Sam being given the opportunity to go back to the club that gave him the opportunity. And it will stand him in very, very good stead. He'll still be our development coach at Hawthorn, but he'll have this other responsibility, and that will well prepare him for the next stage in his life, wherever that is.
You've also got Craig McRae, and you've given Sam Mitchell the development role job as well, to develop all those young kids that are going to be coming through Box Hill. So that's part of his portfolio as well. But getting Craig McRae has been a good addition for you as well. So you've restructured and, you know, you're ready to sort of rejuvenate from the coaching department down.
Yes, well, of course, that's happened under two directions. The first is, of course, the AFL has cut the soft cap, which is the pool of money we have available to employ coaches and medical staff and physios, etc., from about 9.3 down to 6.2. So that's a third cut, which is a massive cut. And it's unfortunately meant a lot of people that we've relied on have gone. But that's the same for every other club. So the department has been restructured. And, you know, we're very confident that we've got a good collection of individuals now. And in terms of Sam, if I can just go back to Sam for a moment.
Yeah.
If you look at young Tom Mitchell, who was our Brownlow medalist, who came back this year from a year off, serious injury, and Jager O'Meara, they are in the mould of Sam Mitchell in the sense that they are the two that train hardest, work hardest. They don't often always talk the most, but they set the example. And Sam Mitchell was the same thing. Sam, as I said, was the epitome and the definition of the word persistence. And in order to win anything, whether it's in commerce or on radio, you've got to be prepared to put in the hard yards. So we've now got people at the club, new people coming in, as you've just indicated. We've got leaders there amongst our playing group. We've got Sam Mitchell, who has always set the bar at the highest level in terms of personal endeavour. So that's why I'm very, very confident that next year could be a very exciting year for us. I mean, when I say very exciting, I don't want you people to take it incorrectly.
Yeah.
It'll be a lot better year than this year, right? And
yeah.
That excites me.
Yeah, you're not, but I won't quote you as you're going to win the flag in 2021. That's what
you were saying. No, don't quote me. But if we do, please come back and say I told you so the year before.
I will.
I'll claim any credit, but I just want to balance the system.
2021 will be exciting for fans if they get to go. There's a bit of talk that, well, with this 25% capacity at the MCG as it is for Boxing Day, it might it might be more than that come the start of the footy season. But there is talk that you might have to become a member, so your name and address is known for you to get into the ground in 2021. How do you see us structuring the crowd issue for 2021, Jeff?
Well, hopefully, we haven't got a start date for the season as yet, but let's assume it's March or April. Hopefully, by then, we'll be back to 50-50 crowds here in Victoria. It'll be better elsewhere, but here in Victoria. And that's without there being any other major outbreaks of the virus, because I don't think we're going to get a vaccine for another year at least, and then in quantities to get it around among the community. And even then, as you know, vaccines don't work for all people. So you've got a whole lot of variables. But the AFL have done some modelling on, you know, full return, 50%, 25%, or in fact no crowds at all. And we don't know which of those is going to be in play by the time we start the season. I would like to think that it's 50% of crowds. And if that's the case, as you've just referred to, it might become very bureaucratic in terms of how we have to present and what information we have to give. That'll be part of the order of the day, I guess. But this is what all the clubs are grappling with at the moment. So here we are at the end of October, which is the end of the football year. Normally, all clubs would have prepared their budgets for the next football year. But the reality is we still don't know how many players we're going to be able to have in our list. We don't know what the TPP is. So it's very hard for us to actually prepare as professionally as we've done in the past, and that's because the AFL is still having discussions with the AFLPA. We just have to realise that we go into next year with a huge amount of uncertainty, and therefore we've got to make sure we cut our cloth to suit.
And have you got an advantage? Do you think there'll be more games at the MCG in 2021? Just say it's 50% capacity, which means at the G you can get 50,000 in, but at Docklands at Marvel Stadium, under 50%, you'd only get 25,000 in. Can you see the AFL scheduling more games at the MCG because of that, to try and crowd maximisation is going to be the big key to footy in 2021, surely?
I think that would be hard because they do have contracts with the MCG and they do have contracts with other grounds, not only here in Victoria, but interstate. So I think that would be hard. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I hope we return to a normal season in terms of number of games. I hope we return to a normal football game of 20-minute quarters. I know there's some discussion taking place about 18 minutes. 16 minutes was too short, in my opinion. 18 minutes is just as bad. I would like to get back to where we were, and I personally hope that, given that we'll have the grand final here next year, it's a daytime grand final, regardless of what you thought about the nighttime grand final. I think the daytime better suits community. It better suits how we live the day, if I can put it that way. But again, guys, it's all up in the air at the moment. It's variable upon variable upon variable.
It's interesting you say that, Jeff, because I presume 2021 is going to be a year where the AFL and clubs need to get as much revenue as possible. So if you can get increased revenue from a night grand final, well, would you go for that, because revenue is so important? But Lewis Martin from Channel 7 said yesterday when he was on the program that he thinks the economy of Victoria needs to be taken into account with the grand final as well. Hoteliers, all those people that have big Septembers and grand final day. And that's why he was sort of suggesting that day and twilight needs to be considered for the Victorian economy. Do you think that would be best for Victorian economy as well, to stick with a day or a twilight rather than night?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Look, I'm very certain the government gave up the grand final this year. The AFL have a contract with the government. They have a contract with the MCG. We gave it up for obvious reasons. We had no alternative. But, you know, to me, this grand final day was most peculiar. And to sit there and watch the grand final with my wife, each with a bottle of wine beside us, because we have drink different wine, and a bag of chips in the middle on a little table, I could have thought I was in an aged care home, to be quite honest. You know, it was just the most peculiar feeling. But on a normal grand final day, there's the build-up the day before, there's the activities from early morning right through the day, and then, of course, particularly for the successful team, a whole lot of celebrations afterwards. So Richmond, Swan Street, around the corner from where I'm speaking to you now, empty. I mean, it was as though the world, life had come to an end. So those pubs, for instance, that's their biggest trading day, particularly when Whitsman wins. So the economy here was really kicked in the groin, if I can put it that way, in the nicest way possible. So yes, daytime grand final for me, better for children, better for families, better for entertainment, better for movement, better for the economy.
So you want 20-minute quarters. I presume you want 22 games in the season. You want your full allocation of home games. What about the thought of this dynamic fixture, this moving picture fixture where we program a third of the fixture and all those teams that play well in the first third, you know, get priority for the good slots in the second, third and third of the season?
Yeah, well, I think that was very interesting and it was a good experiment and it was forced upon us in many ways. I'm not opposed to that, as long as it doesn't economically damage what I would call the clubs that aren't performing as well on the field, because if it affects them economically, then it probably will mean that they will be more dependent on the AFL for financial assistance just to continue to trade. So right now we've got 18 clubs. We have six clubs that are non-assisted or unassisted clubs. That means we've got 12 clubs that rely on the AFL and their sponsorship deals, particularly media, to keep trading. And the objective should be to try and build those 12 clubs up to the point that they become unassisted clubs as well. So if those unassisted clubs are also the clubs at the bottom of the ladder based on performance, then without giving them the opportunity to share some of the glory and some of the better slots in terms of television, you're probably condemning them to stay close to the bottom of the ladder. So I don't mind the experiment this year, and I think it worked very well given the circumstances. But you want to make sure, given that all 18 clubs are what I would call equal shareholders in the AFL code, that you don't discriminate against them in trying to do your schedule.
And there's been a lot of talk about whether there is or isn't going to be a review into the workings of the AFL Commission. You've had your say on that, and you know journalists have had their say on it as well. If there was one thing that the Commission did need to have a look at from 2021 that's of vital importance going forward, Jeff, what would be higher on your priority list?
I think I would argue transparency. So, for instance, the AFL demand of all the clubs, all of their information on a monthly or weekly basis, depending on the condition of the club. We don't get the same transparency back from the AFL as to income, how they're spending money, etc. Now, quite obviously, the AFL have made some very big cuts this year, and we hear about reduction in size of staff by percentage and how much it's going to save in dollar terms, but we don't know the specifics. And I have said before, I would like to see the AFL operate under the same conditions, regulations that corporate companies do. It's a big business, and we should be able to have confidence in knowing what the AFL administration is doing, where they're spending money, etc., etc., so that we can, as club presidents, can make decisions that are based on fact, rather than going to a couple of meetings a year and putting things up on a slide and being told everything's okay. So I would like, firstly, equal transparency from the AFL back to the clubs that the clubs have to provide to the AFL. And then secondly, I would like the AFL to operate on the same basis that we require companies to operate under. And, you know, if you've got nothing to hide, why aren't you prepared to do that?
Jeff, always great to have a chat to you. It's really nice to hear that spring in your voice, and I'll let you get out and enjoy the sunshine. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you. You have a very good day. And I can only say to your listeners, go Hawks. It's going to be a wonderful year in 21.
I think Jeff Kennett said earlier they're winning the flag in 2021. I'll better listen to the tape back. Great to have you, Jeff. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Jeff Kennett, Hawthorne president. A couple of your calls next, if we can squeeze them in. 1300 736 736. You with Dwayne's Well.